in the mood for some Erykah Badu? I know I always am. Folks, this is DJ DA, and you are listening to Track Through Track R&B on Ko'u Radio.
Listening to Ka'u Radio, broadcasting right here in Ocean View in Ka'u District. So up next, what we have is we want you to enjoy this interview with Jody Rosam, who will be sharing her knowledge about Ka'u conservation groups. Bear with us. It is a windy interview recorded right here in windy Ka'u, but the information is valuable, so enjoy. Aloha, you are listening to Ka'u Radio Station, streaming from Ocean View here on the Big Island, Hawaii. We are beta testing for an FCC license, so do reach out to us if you want to help or volunteer DJ with us. We intend to serve this community on the airwaves as soon as we can. So I'm DJ Fiona, and you are listening this next hour to Ka'u Connections. With me, I have Jody Rosam, a local and passionate community member, who works with the Ala Kaha Kai Trail Association, also known as the ATA. Aloha, Jody.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course. Reason she's talking with all of us today is this. Two large properties in Ka'u are targeted for development and need community support. Both properties are currently listed for sale, but the seller is interested in selling for preservation purposes. Members of the community and Ala Kaha Kai Trail Association are seeking letters or live testimony in support of this stewardship effort. So, Jody, this effort is not to be confused with a similar, nearly simultaneous effort to what's happening with stewardship of Road to the Sea and the coastline there, which is owned by Hawaii County. So can we start by you telling us how this is different and the impetus behind getting community input on the Ka'u coastline?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is similar in that it's both using funds from the PONC program, which stands for Public Access Open Space Natural Resource Preservation Commission. However, it's different because the parcels we're talking about today also are seeking funding through a state agency called the Legacy Land Conservation Commission. And it's not actually simultaneous because this Road to the Sea property was purchased via PONC funds in 2016.
Okay.
And right now what we're hearing about is getting the management plan formed. So what happens after the county purchased the property via PONC funds for preservation is they contracted out a third party that's called Townscape. And Townscape's job is to talk to the community, and they need to speak to everybody that would have input on the management of the place. And then Townscape forms the management plan, which then needs to be fulfilled through the county since they're the technical owners of the property at that point.
Understood. So that's Road to the Sea.
That's Road to the
Sea.
Okay. As far as the Kealakaʻa and Mauna Kaʻa properties, those were listed for preservation under PONC funds as well as that Legacy Land Commission, so state and county matching funds.
Okay, so thank you for clarifying that.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone listening who doesn't know, what is the Ala Kaha Kai Trail and what's its historical and cultural and ecological significance?
That's a great question. So the Alakahakai Trail has been historic and very important in Hawaiian culture. It is the trail along the sea, so the coastal trail that kind of meanders around natural contours of the land. And it's an ancient trail. In fact, King Kamehameha made a law to call the trail safe passage routes. So as long as you're traveling along the trail, you wouldn't be harmed, keep you safe. And then later, Queen Liliuokalani, I think it was in 1892, she deemed all the old trails and paths fee simple lands. So they're all public lands, and really encouraged usage of these trails. So the Alakahakai Trail was established as a national historic trail in the year 2000. And the purpose of that was to protect the Hawaiian cultural and natural resources along that trail system. It's a 175-mile corridor on the Big Island that goes from Apollo Point, so the north tip of the island, down the west side, Kona side, through Kau, up around South Point, and then it ends actually in Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. It goes over a couple hundred different ahupua'a and ancient sites. It connects communities across ahupua'a and Mauka Makai trail systems. But it's important not to get that confused with that Alakahakai Trail Association, which is a nonprofit. So the trail itself is an entity, and then it was deemed a National Historic Trail. And then what Alakahakai Trail Association does is kind of fosters partnership with communities to manage areas in and around that trail.
Okay, understood. So that brings me to my next question. On January 22nd, 2021, the BLNR, that's the Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources, deferred approval of funding to Kau for preservation purposes, which is significant in that the two properties which are about to be sold in that area already have permits for planned subdivisions. The rhetoric is that they were threatening to divert those funds to Maui County. Can you give us any insight as to why that happened?
Yeah, so during that meeting, there was some opposition from several community members that came up. And I think it kind of shook the feathers of the board. And they kind of had some concern because they've never really experienced a contest between community members for a legacy land conservation program purchase of property.
Okay.
So at one point they had mentioned, let me back up. So they have a whole list of ranked properties on their list, and Kiola Ka'a was ranked number 2 for funding, and Mauna Ka'a was ranked number 3. And the list goes on after that, beyond Mauna Ka'a, so number 4, et cetera, was some properties over on Maui.
Okay.
So they did say, well, maybe we need to drop the Kau properties if there's some opposition in the community, and then we'll just fully fund these Maui properties. But Chairwoman Case says, well, you know, let's defer. And under the circumstances that you guys go out and you folks all talk and you have those hard conversations and you come together cohesively to agree upon or disagree upon the purchase of these properties. So that was really good for us, I feel like, because we've had some really good conversations. It kind of brought a lot of people together that needed to have conversations, cleared up a lot of misconceptions. So I think it was a blessing in disguise. But on that note, I do want to say that the Mauna Ka'a property, which is ranked number 3 through the Legacy Land Commission, would have only received partial funding for the preservation funds in the fiscal year 2021. So that's a fancy way of saying that ETA wasn't able to raise sufficient funds, even if it was approved by the Board of Land and Natural Resources, weren't gonna meet the landowner's demands, what he wanted to sell for. So Trust for Public Lands came in and tried to offer some counters, but the landowner rejected those offers. So he actually dropped the selling price of the property, which like drastically increased the imminent threat of development.
Wow.
So ATA and TPL, Trust for Public Lands, kept working and brainstorming, and they finally came up with a solution. There is a private buyer, that is going under contract with the seller, with the current landowner of that property. And that buyer has agreed to grant a conservation easement to the Alakahakai Trail Association. That conservation easement means that the Mauna Ka'a property is going to be protected in perpetuity. So this is hot off the press news.
Very cool.
ATA actually just formally withdrew the application for Mauna Kea from the Legacy Land Commission. So now some of that funding can go to some of those properties further down on that prioritized list. So some of the Maui parcels can actually receive some of this funding now.
So everybody wins.
It's a win-win for everybody. Yep. So our main focus right now is the Kiola Kaʻa parcel, and that's what we're really seeking community support and letters of support and live testimonies for.
And it was that, so on the website, it's the www.alakahakaitrail.org/kaku. Kaku,
K-A-K-O,
K-A-K-O-O, dash Kaʻu. Yeah. So that was where the Zooms are made public. Anybody can watch them. And I did watch the first one, and it was quite compelling.
Yeah, there was over 60 attendees at that Zoom meeting, and hopefully we will have another one. And also on that website, you can watch the original BLNR meeting on January 22nd, and there's a lot of really good information there.
So, and that brings me to my next question, because, you know, watching this, it was very passionate testimonials were given. And so the conclusion that I sort of came to is many, you know, Ohana and ancestral Hawaiian communities have been concerned about these properties since way back, the year 2000, 21 years ago, right, when several old plantations were sold. Can you tell us more about why it's important to involve these Native families in the management of these properties? I mean, it seems like a given, but in the management of these properties moving forward.
Yeah, for sure. So, like you mentioned, Sea Brewer or Kaʻu Agribusinesses was the owner. And when they started to sell, you know, they were like the big five, owned some of the, were one of the top five landowners in the state of Hawaii. They owned so much land. I think 30 some thousand acres just in Kaʻu alone.
Wow.
So when they sold, it raised a lot of flags. Some farmers that were worried about how they're going to afford leases on some of the land. Constant threat of development. And then since it's been purchased by this current landowner, it's really upped the ante of imminent threat. So involving Native families, like you said, it seems like no-brainer, right? People with geological ties to a place, that matters. I mean, they have certain protocols and ways of life on these like micro-scale cultural practices that it might be different here versus the next ahupua'a over. And you can really only get that source of knowledge from the folks that have the genealogical ties to, and the relationships, the deep relationships with the land in that certain place. And if we don't involve them, then the knowledge and the practices of management that the Hawaiian culture has been so good at, you know, they are a culture of sustainability, and those practices might be lost or misconstrued in the management plan if they're not included. So it's absolutely imperative, I feel like, that the folks that have been practicing on these lands for generations and generations are part of the management plan.
Right. So one thing in these Zooms that I was watching was brought up by the ATA has been that there has been extensive science-based analysis of the specific reasons why these properties are culturally, ecologically, and historically important to protect. So is there anything else you can tell our listeners? I mean, you kind of covered it, but what else could you say about the value of community involvement, like everyone's involvement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so aside from just the folks that have genealogical ties, I think that there's specialty knowledge people here in the community. Kaʻu is so diverse, and we have such a melting pot, mixing pot of knowledge here, not just of people, but in what they know and what they specialize in. So like experts in a certain field. For me, I have a background in native plants and forest restoration and research behind restoration. So maybe my input would be valuable in maintaining the dry land forest ecosystem, and maybe my neighbor's knowledge in ankylosing ponds would be valuable in the pond management. Maybe somebody else down the street is good at how to care for cultural sites or burial sites and things like that. So to bring in the greater community with all their different specialties and expertise in certain areas, I think is also essential.
Really important. So yeah, thanks for sharing that with us. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick musical break. If you are just joining us, you're listening to Kaʻu Connections. I'm Fiona, and today I have with me Jody Rosam.
Rosam.
Yeah. And so thank you for listening, and quick music break, and we will be right back.
Shall I share in my energy? Lovely song I sing, and now shall I share in my eternity? What shall I say to all the people to help them come together and see that there is only love now? So come together.
Welcome back. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Kau Radio Station. This is Kau Connections with Fiona, and I have with me Jody Rosam, who is, well, a passionate community member who works with the Ala Kahakai Trail Association regarding land stewardship here in Kau. So just if you're just tuning in, you can find out more about the work this organization does by logging on to www.alakahakaitrail.org kakao.
/kakao-kau.
Or by leaving her a message at 808-987-8681.
Perfect.
So I'd like to ask you about the Kau Community Development Plan. What is it, and how can Kau residents get involved?
Okay, so the Kau CDP was this huge, like, decade-long kakao effort, so multiple people involved. I think there was 12 or 13, sorry, CDP people, if I'm wrong, but on the steering committee itself, and then countless people that volunteered their time and their knowledge and everything to form the CDP. The CDP was completed in 2017, and it was adopted by county ordinance. So it was signed by Mayor Harry Kim at the time, and this is, it stands, it's within the county, this is how we need to go about development and other aspects here in Kau. So basically what it does is it outlines the community-based input as it relates to county policies. So it has details on land use and land development, so it can directly offer protection of certain resources that have been outlined. It directs county actions related to land use and open space, and it guides policies that the state and the federal agencies make. So it's kind of like this roadmap, community-based, written up roadmap that on how to protect our resources, how to support local Kau economy, and everything is implemented through county legislation and administrative processes. So, like I said, it's kind of a roadmap and a way that the county must proceed if they have to go over any speed bumps or something in order to protect parts of Kau that the CDP has outlined. Because it is final, I don't know exactly how folks can get involved, but I think that since it was finaled in 2017, there's probably still an action committee going on or something related to that. So I would suggest folks go to the Hawaii County website, and you can search the CDPs, and under Kau, I know they always have links on how to be updated, email lists, things like that.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
So it's reassuring to know that it's a detailed plan. It's already in
detailed.
Place.
So much
not just an idea. It's
yeah.
It's been implemented and it's working. So can you explain to listeners what the Trust for Public Lands is in Hawaii and how that works?
Yeah, so I'm no expert in Trust for Public Lands language, but I do know that basically they help facilitate raising funds to protect and restore natural spaces. So they really work with communities, and they have a lot of knowledge and resources on how to secure funding for certain parcels for preservation. In Hawaii, they've helped to preserve over something like 50,000 acres of open space. And so on these projects, they're working alongside Ala Kahakai Trail Association to facilitate ways of funding. So for example, when ATA ran into the issue of not being able to secure enough money from the landowner of Mauna Kea for preservation, TPL came up with some other ideas, and that's how they were able to pursue the private buyer granting the conservation easement. So they're a really good facilitator, and they have a good website to look at, www.tpl.org. And they are a nationwide organization, but their Hawaii chapter is very active and a lovely group of people to work with.
Wow, that's
really nice.
That's good news then.
Yeah.
That's good news. So it kind of brings me to this PONC, because these are things that came up a lot when I was listening to the Zoom and, mm-hmm. and things people might want to know about. And PONC is this long acronym, but can you explain what PONC is and how it differs from state purchase and county purchase land regarding these issues?
Yeah, okay, so that long acronym, Public Access Open Space Natural Resource Preservation Commission, PONC, PONC. So basically, PONC lands are ultimately owned, I guess you would say, by the county. I hate using that word about land in Hawaii, but
right.
If you go to the property tax website, it will say county is the owner. What PONC does is it is like this special kitty, a special fund of money. And the money comes from 2% of all of the real property tax revenues. So it's our state, or it's our county tax dollars, basically supporting preservation of land. So there's no donors involved. It's just that special fund kitty from the real estate or real property tax revenues. So what happens with PONC lands is you as a community member or organization or whatever can submit suggestions on certain parcels for preservation. And then the commission, the PONC commission prioritizes a list of parcels, and then a county council member, so you must get real close to your county council member and show them the property and explain to them why it's important. They basically have to submit a resolution that authorizes the Department of Finance to proceed in the purchase of that property. So if they're not on board, then it's not going to be a go. But if you can get your county council member to approve and understand the value of the place, then it can proceed. The county itself is more likely to acquire properties that have commitments from matching funds. So meaning that not all of the 2% funds for that year would get dumped on a certain parcel. They could spread out their money a little bit more. So they like to have matching sources of funds. In the Kealakaua parcel we're talking about, the matching source of funds is that Legacy Land Conservation Program, or LLCP.
Okay.
So basically the difference in that is that it's a state program, similar to PONC, in that they get a portion, or the money comes from a portion of the annual revenue from real estate conveyance taxes. So it's all tax dollars at work to preserve lands.
That's good news too.
Yeah.
So, you know, some concerns which arise in the community of Kau in our district, whether, you know, from ancestral Hawaiian or Kama'aina, have come up in those ATA Zoom meetings that, you know, anybody can watch, and I watched. The discussions were about accessibility. So does ATA have a plan on how this can work regarding providing both pedestrian and vehicular access to these coastal areas?
Yeah, so it's a distinction you have to make that Alakahakai Trail Association will not be the ones managing the land. It's community-based management.
Right.
So same thing like what's happening with Road to the Sea. If this parcel gets purchased under these legacy land and PONC funds, then they must form this management plan within 18 months of closing. So they'll likely hire a company like Townscape to do the management plan, things like that. So it's really not up to ATA. It's up to the community.
Okay.
If the community agrees, oh, I want 25 gates and I don't want any vehicles coming in, it's too sensitive, then I guess that's what has to happen.
Right.
But if that's probably not what's going to happen. If the community gets together and says, I want a better network of trails to explore the area, then that goes into the management plan. Or, you know, these certain areas need to be fenced off because they're too sensitive, then that's what goes into the management plan. So ATA themselves are not going to restrict access. It would be the community's decision, and then ATA would have to abide by whatever that management plan says.
Well, that's great. And so the people get to decide.
People get to decide.
And the community gets to decide. So, you know, that's a win for everyone.
Yeah.
It's also been mentioned in some of the talk stories that even a quarter mile permit variances could be overridden if these properties were to be sold to developers, which means that subdivisions could ultimately be built directly on, I don't even like to say it, ancestral gravesites, block subsistence fishing access, adversely affect valuable ecological plants and wildlife. You know, how can people access more information about this?
Yeah, and it is unfortunate. I mean, we see that all the time. The problem is when it's one landowner, like currently Kealakaua is one landowner, we can maybe figure something out so that those things don't happen. But if it gets subdivided and you're talking 20 different landowners, then the chances of bulldozing going over something sensitive, those really increase. And it's this thing where some people know and don't care, and some people just don't know.
Right.
So it's trying to get that information out there. For that quarter mile variance from the shoreline, the CDP, the Ka'u CDP, required that. They wrote that in. It's a higher level of justification for development within that quarter mile setback of shoreline. But they can't say that you can ban development. So I think it's an unconstitutional thing to say ban. You cannot do it. But what happens is the CDP outline these pretty lengthy requirements, and I think that those roadblocks are what make it effective.
Right.
Not saying it could never happen, it's just harder for it to happen. And on the subject of variances and the Kiola Ka'a parcel, it's 1,850 acres. It's huge. It's not just coast. It goes up to almost Green Sand Subdivision. It's massive. So the State Historic Preservation Department, or SHPDI, actually gave a waiver to the landowner from having to do a full archaeological inventory survey, or AIS. And they said, well, you only have to do one within 100 feet of the major road of the subdivision. So because he has this waiver, he gets to bypass the rules that SHPDI technically has of having to do a full AIS and burial treatment plans, because it is a special management area, because there are sites on the property. But he gets to bypass that. And if he does subdivide, then, like I said, back to the issue of dealing with 20 different landowners instead of just him. And that's when the real threat of losing those... I
looked at some of the maps. Sorry to interrupt, but I looked at some of the maps, and it's like 3 acre, 3 acre, 5 acre, 7 acre, 20 acre. So
yeah.
There are all kinds of different.
The majority are about 80 acres, and then some are kind of smaller little sections. But yeah, it gets real tricky. It'd be a really difficult situation to navigate all those private landowners.
Right. Well, it's good that these plans are in place and that these conversations are happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, to your knowledge, are any local agricultural producers, cattle ranchers adjacent to these areas, because they own large parcels,
mm-hmm.
right, or lease, are they taking an active role in the community development or stewardship of this area?
Yeah, so for Kiola Ka'a, there is no stewardship or management yet, because it's still privately owned
right.
by the developer guy. It is being ranched. There are two leases, different cattle ranch leases. To my knowledge, neither of those lessees are doing much with the stewarding. Not saying that they wouldn't,
right.
but to my knowledge, they have not yet. In some other areas, like where the Mauna Kea property is, in this area next to the Waikapuna parcel, which was actually purchased for conservation by Alakahakai in 2019, the Kuahiwi Ranch owns the access roads into Waikapuna, and they've been really helpful. They're working with Alakahakai. They're willing and able to fence off areas that the management plan says that they need to fence off and restrict cattle ranching and grazing. So we do have support from some of them.
So they're being good neighbors.
They're being good neighbors and good stewards. And being at the farmers market the past few weeks, I have talked to a lot of the local ranchers, and they're all in support of this and willing to help in any way possible. So
very cool.
Yeah.
So it seems overall, I guess, that the ATA stance is that activism on the stewardship of these properties and the aina in general needs to be inclusive of all Ka'u community members, and this is all giving them all a voice
mm-hmm.
in it, but also transparent and accessible to kapuna and ancestral families of Ka'u. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't have community management without the community. And like I said before, the kapuna, that's our source of knowledge for these places. And if they don't have their voice, and if they're not able to go practice where they've been practicing and fish where they've been fishing and really use those lands as they have been for generations, then that kind of loses the whole purpose, right? Like we still need to have people be able to practice the way that they have been. Give them a voice, make sure that they're heard, make sure that everybody is heard, because without the community, the management plan is going to be insufficient.
Well, thank you. So in final, we're going to wrap it up here. I just want to ask, what do you think is the best way for people with differing opinions on this issue to unify for a solution? There was some talk in those Zooms at the very end where people need to unify.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's your opinion on that?
You know, I've thought long and hard about this. It's kept me up at night. And I think that the main take home is, you know, we can have our differences and our opinions and things like that. But this threat it's imminent. I mean, this landowner is ready to go. I have seen the plans. It's set in stone, you know, and Kau'u is known for working together to make things happen. And first step is to set aside any differences and come together and save the place. And after that, that's when all of the differences can get hashed out. You know, that's when we can come together face to face again after COVID, hopefully, and really see eye to eye and realize that everybody does want to protect these places. Nobody wants a major development to happen where no. Kupuna are buried. You know, nobody wants to see endangered species disappear. Nobody does. So we're all on the same page. And if we can set aside however we're feeling emotionally in the moment right now, secure the funding, secure the land, then we can all figure out a way to work together.
Awesome. Thank you, Jody, for your welcome. Perspective today. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. If you're just joining us, you caught the tail end of Kau'u Connections. This is Kau'u Radio. Mahalo for listening. My name is Fiona. And to learn more about what we talked story about today, just go to www.alakahakaitrail.org/kakao-kau.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you. And
thank
aloha.
Thank you, Fiona. Aloha.
Up next, Aloha Friday, Jazz and Soul.
There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could sing, but I can try for your heart. And our dreams, and they are made out of real things, like a shoebox of photographs with sepia tone loving. Love is the answer, at least for most of the questions in my heart. Like, why are we here and where do we go? And knock on me so hard. It's not always easy, and sometimes life can be deceiving. I'll tell you one thing, it's always better when we're together. It's always better when we're together. Yeah, we'll look at them stars when we're together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. Just might find their way into my dreams tonight, but I know that they'll be gone when the morning light sings or brings new things. For tomorrow night you see that they'll be gone too. Too many things I have to do. But if all of these dreams might find their way into my day-to-day scene, I'd be under the impression I was somewhere in between, with only two, just me and you. Not so many things we got to do, or places we got to be. We'll sit beneath the mango tree now. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. We're somewhere in between together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. Combination of words I could say, but I will still tell you one thing, we're better together.
This is a Ka'u Radio News Brief for the week of March 19th, 2021. This past week, heavy rains have fallen island-wide and in Ka'u, prompting road closures and flash flood warnings along Highway 11, in particular near Honoapo. Motorists are urged during heavy rainfall to drive with caution and be aware of runoff, flooding, and debris along roadways. Saturday, at the Ocean View Community Center, 4 one-hour talk story sessions will be held regarding the Kahuku Coastal, also known as Road to the Sea, Resources Management Plan. These are by reservation only and are hosted by Townscape Incorporated in cooperation with the County of Hawaii through its Department of Finance. To learn more, contact Gabrielle Shan at gabrielle@townscapeinc.com or call 808-550-3894. Raised crosswalks are being installed in Na'alehu along Highway 11 to protect pedestrians and urge drivers to slow down and proceed with caution near Na'alehu Elementary, residential areas, and local businesses. The Hawaii State Department of Transportation is considering additional locations for raised crosswalks on state roads. To suggest additional locations, send email to dotpao@hawaii.gov or call 808-587-2160. Hope Diamond Ministries continues to distribute free meals in Na'alehu in front of the Old Theater Monday through Thursday at 4 p.m. and in the Rancho Ace parking lot in Ocean View Mondays and Tuesdays at noon and 5 p.m. and Wednesday through Friday at 5 p.m. only. Mahalo for listening. This has been a Ka'u Radio News Brief.
Two large properties in Ka'u are targeted for development and need the community's support for preservation. This month, the DLNR will be considering the recommendation made by the State Legacy Land Conservation Commission to grant an award for the preservation of Kealoha'a, which stretches from Ka'alu'alu Bay, almost to nearly Greensand Subdivision, and Manaka'a and the Manianiapali above Waikapuna to the Alakahakai Trail Association. Out of 12 applications across the state, these two Ka'u properties were ranked number 2 and number 3. Both properties have been targeted for large-scale subdivisions, and these developments would directly impact numerous cultural sites, rare native plant species, and critical habitats, as well as Ka'u's prized open space and public access. Both properties are currently listed for sale, but the seller is interested in selling for preservation purposes. Members of the community and the Alakahakai Trail Association are seeking letters or live testimonies in support of preservation. If you'd like to contribute to saving Ka'u's coastline, please contact Jody Rossum at 808-987-8681. Or at jodyrossum@gmail.com, and that's jodie.rosam@gmail.com.
Shining stars and sandy feet, and your lips like candy. I could go on and on. Let's walk the shore. Hide away, I'll keep you from the tidal waves. I'll keep you, 'cause the evening's not for missing you now. The moon is right for kissing you how I want to, if only you'd allow me. Let's not say goodbye. Let's not be hasty, baby. For to leave you ever, I could never do. I'm still in love with you.
Sit a while
evening's not for missing you now. The moon is right for kissing you how I want to, if only you'd allow me to.
You know I'd hate to leave you.
Let's not say goodbye. Let's not be hasty, baby, for to leave you ever I could never do. Kissing you how I want to, if only you'd allow me to.
You know I'd hate to leave you.
Let's not say goodbye. Let's not be hasty, baby, for to leave you ever I could never.
Call you. you're here.
I'm happy I'm here. Happy I'm still alive. You never know. Maybe I'll try that again. Comes a rainstorm, put your rubbers on your feet. Comes a snowstorm, you can get a little heat. Comes love, and nothing can be done. Comes a fire, then you know just what to do. Blow a tire, you can buy another shoe. Comes love, nothing can be done. No use hiding, 'cause it isn't any use. You'll start sliding when your heart turns on the juice. Comes a headache, you can lose it in a day. Comes a toothache, see your dentist right away. Comes love, nothing can be done. No. You can lose it in a day. Comes a toothache, see a dentist right away. Comes love, nothing can be done. Oh no, nothing can be done. Whoa, no. Let me tell you, I've been there. When I thought I didn't have a care, every guy I ever met, well, you know what they say, well, they were all wet. No good. Yeah. So what I want you to do for me right now, you just came in from the cold, this nice cold weather in Montreal. Get your hands warm. Can you clap? Yes, clap on too. Hey everybody, you know what to do. I knew you had it in you. You're just old jazzers at heart. Hey, you're off to a good start. Snap your fingers. All right. Snap your fingers. Snap your fingers. Clap your hands. Snap your fingers. Snap, clap, snap, snap, clap, 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 snap, clap, snap, clap, snap, snap, clap. Yeah. Now that's gonna get your hands warm. You know, yesterday was Valentine's Day. Now if that guy sitting across from you tonight didn't give you flowers and a card or a nice big kiss or whatever, slap him now. Yeah, slap, slap, snap, snap, slap, snap, clap, snap, snap, clap. Oh, come slow. Oh, baby. Do-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know how we're gonna get out of this, so I think I better shut up. What do you say, Kieran? By the way, before I stop, what are you looking over at the wall for? This is Steve Miro on piano. Andre White. Oh, he's such a bright light on the drums with magnificent thumbs. And then we got Kieran Overs on the bass, and he's got a smiling face. That's the group. Oop-dee-doop. Yeah, yeah. Hey, hey, what do you say?
I wish I was sober before you came over, but you know that this is making me nervous. I'm drunk in a cafe, you're drinking a latte, and I haven't slept a wink waiting for this date with you. Do you feel it too? You give me a cookie, there's crumbs all up on me, and there's lipstick on the tip of my nose. You're staring at me like I'm under the spotlight. The sweat is dripping down to my toes. Enjoy the view on this date with you. Bye.